and enjoying a nice, crisp day. We got several sick this morning, out for other reasons, so be praying for them. I think Derek's got a toothache, and I told him this morning I'd rather be sick any day and have that going on, so y'all remember him. I know some's got family members sick and in hospitals, different things, so pray for all those. I'd like to say I appreciate everyone coming out. We had a great crowd yesterday to work on our building. We got almost all the sheetrock hung, whatever you want to say. We put in about 10,000 screws, and it shouldn't fall. And so I'd heard for years, been pastoring several years now, and had people's always told me that you've got to be there for years before you gain trust. And yesterday, I think I realized I was starting to gain some trust as I had a counterweight on my ladder. And I'll just let y'all look at the pictures and figure out why. But we had a good time, had a lot of fun, got a lot of work done. And I'm sure everybody that was there has got sore hands. And but appreciate the hard work. Coming along, we're going to for sure be in it by next Christmas. No, earlier than that, I hope, but it's getting closer. So appreciate the hard work. Do we have any prayer requests this morning?
Remember him.
Man. Remember him. Yeah, I saw they had some snow up that way. Remember them. Any others? Remember Pat's grandsons. He'll be driving home tomorrow from Texas. So I think she said about 13-hour drive. So pray for safe travels for him as he comes home. And there again, I know we've got a lot sick and different things going on. So just ask you to remember them. God knows which each one stands in need of. Anything else before we go into prayer? Yeah, y'all remember Will. Stepdad passed away this our last week. And funeral's, when is it?
Thursday.
This coming Thursday. Y'all remember that. Any others? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Father, another gift of life. God, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you to touch the sick. Lord, there's so many that we can't even start to mention them. Lord, we ask you to touch in each situation. God, we thank you for touching Brother Kenny. He's back with us this morning. We thank you for what you've done in just in his life. God, we thank you for our church, what it means to us. And Lord, we ask you that we all get better, that we all get over our sicknesses and different things we've had going on. And Lord, we thank you for everything you have blessed us with. God, we ask you to touch our singers this morning as they sing. God, this thing praises to you for no other reason to honor and glorify the name of Jesus. Father, as we go into preaching hour, Lord, I just pray that you touch my lips, you give me the words to say. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Time, God, yes, He is. He may not come when you want Him, be there right on time. On time, God, yes, He is. On time. Yes, He is.
Just like
the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life.
On-time God song. Abby does too. Y'all could hear. I didn't have my switch flip. Good to have everybody out again this morning. Again, I know we're missing some. Let's don't let that affect us. This message this morning is for me as much as anybody, as most of them are. It's about the kingdom of God. Been on my mind all week, and then yesterday we was working on our building, and Keith began mentioning that he had heard back from our traveler, the one that come through during Thanksgiving, was on his way from North Georgia to Arizona. And in his message, he said something that went right along with what I'd been thinking all week. He said, realize you put the kingdom of God first, that God will take care of you and God will provide. And I think we take that scripture, by the way, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, just part A of that verse is all we're going to read, part A. And in that, I want you to see there's more to seeking the kingdom of God than just our salvation. There's many things in seeking the kingdom of God. Today, we're going to preach about two of them. I only have 2-point sermon. You're thinking, oh my goodness, we're going to beat the Methodist to the restaurant. Sad thing is, I've got about 14 sub-points on those. God just kept giving it. And I'm going to tell you this morning, don't blame me. This is the word of God. You got a problem with it, take it up with him. But it's straightforward and it brings to our attention a lot of things. And I was thinking this morning as Christians, as churches, not just New Harmony or any other church, but we have missed the mark. We have made modern day Christians, I'd say since probably the 1600s or 1700s even, we have missed the mark. We went about building big buildings. Nothing wrong with that if you can. Nothing wrong with all the things we've done, but I'm afraid that we've took our focus off of what it's about, and that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If you would, stand to your feet. Just a half a verse. Not even going to keep you long. You're not even going to have to stand very long. Just look at that verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. That word seek, I got to mention before we pray. That word means to be about. To be about, for that to be your main objective. It's what the word seek means. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, we thank you for your mercy and grace. And God, I pray for just a few minutes that you open our hearts and minds. Father, we may understand what it means to seek the kingdom of God. God, we may understand what it means to put you first in our lives. And God, that you may touch us, you may open our hearts and minds. I pray the Holy Spirit be amongst us this morning, that God, we can feel him so close. These blessings we do ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I said, the word seek means to be about the kingdom of God. Understand, life, we all have it. We're all busy. We all got things that keep our attention. We've got things our kids are doing where we run them to and from. We're busy all the time, it seems, that there's never a time just to slow down. I got up here a piece of paper in my mouth. I knew that mistake. Well, we never seem to slow down. We're going 100 miles an hour. We're going to work. We get home from work, we're going to ball practice. We get home from ball practice, we're doing this. We're all the time about these things. Even in churches, we plan events, and we have all these great things going. But the sad thing is, we have left out the kingdom of God. We've left it out. We've lost focus on it, if you will. We have two main jobs as Christians, and that's what we're going to preach about. We have two main jobs in the kingdom of God. Now listen, if any multiplying is done and any maintaining is done, it's God that does it through us. But us as his followers, we have a responsibility to multiply and to maintain. I've noticed these big time pastors. I don't know why they do this. Maybe some of y'all that's teachers or smarter than me can tell me why. Why they get people to repeat what they say. Does that help y'all learn it more? You ever been to a bigger service and they'll say, now everybody say maintain. Then everybody will say it, and I think, man, he's good. But I ain't going to make you do that. But write down, if you will, multiply. If you keep notes and write it down, if you don't, remember it. We went to a restaurant last night, and a little girl took her order, and she didn't even write it down, Rudy. And we wasn't even at the Waffle House, Aiden. She didn't write down her order, and I thought, well, she's going to forget. But she didn't. She got it all right. And you know what Stephanie said? Women are not like y'all men. They can remember. All this time I've been preaching, and Kelly finally gives me an amen. Seriously today, multiply. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. You don't have to turn. If you want to, they're going to put it up here for you. And don't think your eyes is going bad, which you can't see the clock, but y'all know I have bad eyes. Everybody turn around and look. Tell me what time it is. The numbers are running together in any of my eyes. Praise the Lord. But multiply. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. We got to get serious for a minute. It says, Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified in walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Our job as God's children, as the followers of Christ, one of our jobs is to multiply the kingdom of God. Now listen, I believe in my heart that if a man, woman, a boy or girl is to be saved, it's done by the Holy Spirit of God touching a heart. Amen? He has to do it. There's no way I can do it. There's no youth leader can do it. There's no singer that can do it. And I got everybody looking at the clock now. There's nobody that can do it. We all must realize it's the Spirit of God. But listen, he uses you and he uses me to touch those and multiply the kingdom of God. How? How do you multiply the kingdom of God? I just told you the Spirit of God has to do it, so how do you have a part in it? It tells us, Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. How do we do this? It's done the same way we grow a garden. How many people in here has ever had a garden? Raise your hand. There's not many here today, so don't be ashamed. I've never had one. If I did, it wouldn't grow. But I have watched my grandfather have a garden, and I know there's some things that he does. And after you plow that garden, there's something you have to do, and you will never have a crop if you never put seed in the ground. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So listen, we know the Bible is a spiritual book, and the seed it's talking about is the Word of God. My friends, today you cannot expect for your church to multiply. You can't expect for the kingdom of God to multiply if nobody has given out seed. You cannot do it. It's not going to happen. You can plow all the ground you want to, and you can make a beautiful rose if you want to and never put a seed in there. May I tell you, you will never have a corn patch. You know what you'll have? You'll have weeds. You'll have weeds will grow up. Now, you may have something volunteer come up, but bless God, you'll never have what you desire to have. And we're coming here to church, and we say this, and we want to see our church grow. We want to see the kingdom of God grow. But bless God, we don't want to give out any seed, and we wonder why things don't grow. It said in should that changed on me. Boy, this is a good day. This is going to be good. But look, the same way we do this, we sow seed. How do we sow these seeds? Have you ever thought about that? Amberly, when she was a little girl, I wish she was here, I'd make her sing it. She used to sing, the word of God is like little bitty seeds, scattered all around. I can't remember the rest of it. Some on the something, some on something. And anyway, but listen, we must sow some seeds. The Word of God is the seed. Church, we cannot expect to ever have a harvest if we don't plant some seeds. You must plant seeds on your job. You must plant them at home. You must plant them everywhere you go. You must be throwing these seeds out if you expect for something to grow. The problem with us today is we're so shy. We're so afraid. We've been told by the world we shouldn't mention Jesus. We shouldn't do this. We may offend somebody. And so we go our whole lives, many of us, and never scatter a single seed. And listen, you have a responsibility, according to the Word of God, to multiply the kingdom of God. The problem is that we don't see the need for the kingdom. Tony Evans, that's his main thing, becoming a kingdom man. If you've ever heard him preach, that's becoming a kingdom man. He mentions it over and over again. I assume his son does. I've never heard him preach. I had to leave early. But listen, the kingdom is what Tony Evans has realized is important in his life. And friend, to me and you understand that. We will not be what God has called us to be. And it's time today that we realize what is important, and that's multiplying the kingdom of God. Some have to plant some seeds. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, I left out Mark, didn't I? I passed y'all, didn't I? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Says, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now listen, after you plant the seed, we all know what happens if the sun comes out and we don't get any rain. Those seeds do not flourish. We have to have somebody to water. Listen, your job may not be to plant the seed. That may be my job. That may be the youth guy's job, may not be that. But listen, unless that seed gets some water, unless it gets some nourishment, it will not come up. We get these great youth groups, and we get all these great things come up, and we want to get them in there and keep them something to do. We want to keep them busy. We want to keep them about this. My friend, what we better be doing is planting some seeds and watering. If we ever want a crop, we better be planting some seeds and watering. How in the world do you water these seeds, these spiritual seeds? It's the same way you do about scattering them. You begin giving them nutrients, giving them more that they can grasp, giving them more that they can, helping them understand the Word of God, understanding what it means to realize you're lost, understanding what it means to be a child of God. There has to be some watering. You see, we get them here, and then we send them out to a youth group, or we send them out to a Sunday school class, or even it's the same thing for adults. We get them in there, and listen, we give them a few seeds, but listen, we never, ever begin to water. And then as time goes by, we say, well, so-and-so was coming and was doing pretty good, but they hadn't been back to church in a while. I wonder what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on, bless God, they did not get watered. It says it right there. We have to have somebody that waters. Now listen, it says plainly in that scripture that God gives the increase. You have to have somebody that plants and somebody that waters. But ultimately, God gives an increase. Can anybody in here tell me how in the world a seed works when you put it in the ground? Can anybody's mind grasp that? Now, I know you can say, well, it germinates and this happens and the seed must die and it comes up and it roots in the ground. I'm not talking about all that. Do you fully understand how you can plant one little kernel of corn and a corn stalk comes up with many, many kernels on it? And the answer to that question is no, you do not. I do not. God gives the increase. You plant that thing in the garden, you do the best you can do, you hoe it what you can, but listen, you cannot send rain, you cannot send sunlight, you cannot send the nutrients in the ground. Brother, all you can do is plant the seed, you can dump a little water of your own on it, but ultimately it's up to God whether that crop grows or not. But see, He requires you to do something. He requires you to get off your hind end and be about some business. He requires you to plant, He requires you to water, but ultimately He makes that thing grow. It's up to Him where there's an increase. You see, I say it all the time. We blame everything else in the world. We'll say the reason we ain't growing is this. Well, if we had this person, this position, then surely we must grow. If we had this person in that position, surely that's the problem. And the whole home, the problem is, listen, we haven't sowed, we haven't watered, and God is not going to bless anything that we don't try. How many farmers y'all know that ever had a successful crop and never ever plowed the garden? Had a successful crop, fed their family, and never ever got out of the house. And they walked out there, and all of a sudden in the barn, it was a great big crop. It had been stored in the barns for them. It just don't happen that way. The same way, it don't happen with the kingdom of God. God gives the increase. But even when God gives the increase, there's still a need for some gatherers. There's still a need for some pickers, if you will. There's a need for some harvesters. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Matthew chapter, listen to this. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's people out there that's waiting for you to talk to them. There's people out there that's waiting for the gospel to be preached to them. They have been in Sunday school class and heard it mentioned. The seed has been planted. Or they heard the seed on the radio. Or they heard the seed on TV. Or they heard the seed somewhere. The seed is there. And water has come along and dumped some more on it. Their minds have begun working. And they're just waiting for somebody to come and tell them all about this Jesus man. The laborers are few. He says the harvest is plenteous. In other words, there's all of them out there waiting, just waiting. Hey, you know what will happen? If you have a great crop come up, you planted it, somebody watered it, God gave the increase, and all of a sudden you've got a great crop sitting out there in the pasture or in the field, and nobody ever goes and picks it. You know what eventually happened to it? It will rot. It will go to waste and become no good for nothing. He says the harvest is plenteous. It's a lot. We ain't got nobody to pick it. We ain't got nobody to gather it. Listen, let me ask you a question. How important is the kingdom of God to you? How important is multiplying the kingdom of God to you? When you put it on your list, up there with work, up there with family, with everything else, may I tell you, if you've got it multiplying the kingdom of God anywhere except the very top, you need to be in this altar and cry out to an almighty God because you are wrong. You say, well, multiplying the kingdom of God is not going to feed my family. You want to bet? You say, well, seeking the kingdom of God is not going to pay my power bill. You want to bet? Seeking the kingdom of God is not going to make sure I have clothes. You want to look at the scriptures? Go back to Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all this other will be added to you. I'm not telling you that God's going to give you brand new cars and all this stuff if you go out and preach the word of God. But what I am going to tell you is He will give you what you stand in need of if you do it according to His way. Now, the problem is me and you want to try to do this thing in a shortcutted style. We want to come to church for about an hour, and we want God to bless everything we touch, and I want to preach for about an hour and think that's good enough, and all along, am I really doing anything to multiply the kingdom of God? The answer to that would be, for most of us, no. It's not very important to us. It just don't mean a lot to us. We have lost a desire to see lost people saved. We sit here, and we've been comfortable, and we've listened to all the good things, and we leave out of here feeling good because we attended church. But listen, it's not about attending church on Sunday. It's not all it's about. It's a good thing. I think it's scriptural. I think we must do it. But you go back to Acts chapter 2, and you read about the first church, brother. You know what their business was about? Every single day was about multiplying the kingdom of God. Multiplying it. That was all it was about. That was their business. Listen to this. How else do we multiply it? Can y'all go back to Acts 9:31 pretty easy? Look at this. I want you to see this. This church began multiplying. And this goes from when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. You look back, Paul had been persecuting the churches. And then he's saved on the road to Damascus. And this is after he has been saved and Barnabas has brought him and showed him to the disciples. It says something that caught my eye this morning. You want me to tell you how the kingdom of God becomes multiplied? The churches are at rest. What I mean at rest? There's no division inside them. There's no griping. There's no grumbling. There's no this has done this and this done that. And I wanted this color carpet and I wanted that color carpet and I wanted this. And boy, if it don't go my way, I'm just going to go. You know what that is? That is country club mentality is what Tom Rainer calls it. We're supposed to have a church mentality. In a country club, you get served because you pay. In a church, you serve because what Jesus has paid for you. It says the churches had rest. And when the churches had rest, look what happened to the last word. And then had the churches rest, multiplied. You see, there's no person out there in their right mind that's going to come to a church. I'm not just preaching to us. I'm preaching to everybody if they can hear it. If it's going out online, whatever. There's no person out there in their right mind that's going to come to a place and want to be part of a place where trouble is. They're not going to be part of a place where people go out and talk about their church. I hate that. I cannot stand it. Listen, if you can't say nothing good about New Harmony Baptist Church, you may need to find you somewhere else to go. It ought to be the best place on earth to you. The church was at rest. There was no arguing. What else did they do? They walked in the fear of the Lord. They had a godly fear. They lived, they practiced what they preached. And boy, God's been working on me for two or three weeks about this. I'm pretty good at preaching, but I'm pretty sorry at doing. You see, it's telling us we must be hearers of the word, and not just hearers, but doers of the word. The problem is we hear it, we'll say amen, and boy, that was a good sermon. We'll walk out and never think one thing else about it. And we've been teaching for several years now that it's okay to do these things because times have changed. It's okay to live this way because we're in 2020. Brother, if it's sin and when the Bible's written, it's still sin today. I say that a lot and I'll keep saying it. Until we get back to a godly fear, the church will not be multiplied. Fear of the Lord. Walk. Had a daily walk that showed there was God-fearing people. A daily walk. You know, that's different than a daily talk. It doesn't say nothing about they had a talk with the fear of the Lord. Their talk was a little out of fear. They said they had a walk, walking in the fear of the Lord. It was evident to everybody that they feared the one true God. Not only has the church got to have rest, and walk with the fear of the Lord. You notice what else is up there? Comfort of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God is not in a church. Brother, you are not going to have no comfort. The Holy Spirit of God, and listen, you say, well, it says where two or three are gathered together, there will be in His name. It does say that. But also these other criteria has got to be met before the Spirit of God will be in a place. I'm afraid today that He is not in many churches, even in our own area, in rural Alabama. We may be surprised if He was to show up one day. It would scare some of us to death. We wouldn't know what to do. And the church cannot be multiplied according to that scripture unless it is in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. It's right there. The comfort. What did Jesus say when He said, when I go away? They was all upset. We don't know where you go. He said, I'll send another comforter, the Holy Ghost. When a church is comfortable in the Holy Spirit of God, it will be multiplied. There's a comfort. Have you ever been in somebody's house? And when you walked in there, you said, I feel at home. This feels like home. Now listen, And if a child of God walks into this place and the Holy Spirit of God is not dwelling here, that person will not feel at home. They cannot. If there's another spirit here because of that, they cannot be at home. There will not be comfort, so it will not be multiplied. And listen, we wonder today, why is something wrong with us or what? Hey, maybe the Spirit of God is not in this place. You ever thought about that? Boy, it's not good to think about, is it? How's the Spirit of God get in this place? We walk in the fear of the Lord. We live godly lives. You could preach all day about this. Multiply the kingdom of God. Number two, our second priority should be to maintain the kingdom of God. Maintain. You say, you may be saying, well, preacher, you think God can do everything. I sure do. I think God can maintain his kingdom. I sure do. I'm glad he put me in charge of it. But listen, he has put me not in charge, but as a part of maintaining the kingdom that is still here on earth. Do you realize that? That a big part of the kingdom of God is right here on earth today. You're right here. If you're saved, you belong to the kingdom of God. The Bible says you've been made priests and princes, and it's glorious what you've been made. You are part of the kingdom. Your name is there. Listen, you've been given a mansion up there. You are a king today. It tells us that in Proverbs chapter 31. You are a king and you are princes. You're part of the kingdom of God right here. You're part of the kingdom. And your job is to maintain this. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Now, this is to the deacons. This is what this is writing to, but it could pertain to all of us. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, did y'all notice that? The church was growing. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "Is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to the prayer, to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. And I'm not going to try to read those other names other than Philip. You see them up there. In verse 6, is whom they sent before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased. And the number of disciples done what? Multiplied. Was it not amazing how God works this thing out? Listen. As pastors, we want to say the deacons need to do more. And there's no doubt they do. But also, us pastors forget the part where it said we're supposed to be continually in prayer and in the Word. What does that mean? That means as the deacons and the preachers and all of us, we need to get serious about the kingdom of God. God give us deacons in our churches to help take care of the flock. Because the men couldn't do it all. They couldn't do everything. And some felt they was getting left out and they was murmuring and complaining. And listen, the first thing we do in modern churches, if we feel left out, if something's going wrong, you know what we do? We side, we want to do something different and do something. We get all upset and we do all these things and don't want to, it's everybody else's fault. We tend to blame the preacher. I've done it. Boy, I tell you what. We may just need a change there. It takes all of us, y'all. The deacons was given a job to do. But I think it could speak to all of us. They was taking care of one another. They was maintaining the kingdom of God. It's the role of every member. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 47. Look at this. And all that believed were together. They were together and had all things common. And sold the possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple in breaking bread from house to house, eat their meat with gladness and sincerity of heart. You know what was going on in Acts chapter 2? They was maintaining the kingdom of God. They was taking care of one another. The widows that couldn't take care of themselves, they was helping them. Those that couldn't do anything, they was helping, didn't have food, they was helping them. This is not socialism. This is God's people taking care of God's church is what it is. And church, well, we should help multiply the kingdom of God, but bless God, we should maintain the kingdom of God. Maintain it. You should care about every member as it was your family. Why? Because according to the word of God, it is your family. It's your family. You become brothers and sisters and joint heirs with Christ. You've got a responsibility to maintain the kingdom of God. They made sure everybody had what they needed. You notice what else they did? Look at verse 47. Praising God. How is this part of maintaining? I'm fixing to show you. Praising God. As they went out, they praised God everywhere they went. If you run across one of the members of the first church, you know what you would have heard? God is good. You know what you would have heard? God is blessing. You know what you would have heard? My God is everything. You know what you would have heard? Boy, come to our church. I'm going to show you what's going on. My God is good. You come down here and you're going to find something. We take care of one another. We maintain the family of God. We maintain the kingdom of God. They praise God. Notice what comes after that comma. And had favor with all the people. In the community, this first church was known for taking care of each other. And they was known for taking care of the community. A church that does not reach out to its community is nothing but a social club. It's nothing but a place. If we don't reach out to the kingdom of God, if we don't help maintain it, then we're just here as a country club. We're not here for what God has called us to be. And my prayer for this upcoming year, and listen, I fail at this miserably, and I think we all do, but we all should be about the business of maintaining the kingdom of God. Praising God and having favor with all the people. The church had a good name outside. Now, you can go to any church you want to, because I've been a member of three or four now. And you begin talking to your community, and I promise you this, and this is going to hurt your feelings, but somebody in this community that can probably see the building or drives by has something negative to say about New Harmony. And you go to Rock Springs, I was a member of there, and I went in its community, and guess what? Somebody there had some negative things to say. And guess what? I was a member of Concord, and you went there, and you went a few miles out, you know what happened? Somebody had something negative to say about Concord. I was a member of Shiloh in Clay County, and you go out just a few miles and begin talking, inviting people to church, and they say, oh, I would, but there's some hypocrites up there. What I'm telling you is, every church, although we strive, you may not have favor with all the people. Some of it is not deserved, but some of it is. And that ain't hard to swallow. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? I was in my community for 21 years. Yes, my daddy would go to church occasionally. I tell you all the time, I wasn't raised in church. I was in the community, and listen, me and Stephanie got married, and she can help me if I'm wrong. But I don't ever remember even one person coming inviting us to church, do you? Not at home. And you know what? As I look back, I can think a little negativity against them. But then I think of now as I'm in that position, what am I doing? What am I doing? Am I any different? Am I leading a church that is what it's supposed to be in the community? And the answer to that is no. It's no. But listen, I pray that my resolve and your resolve for this brand new year, we're already through 1 month, we're starting the second month, would be that this year, those outside the church have a good report of New Harmony. I think we started some good things, and the key word to that is started. You see, I'm a great starter. I'm not a very good finisher. I get caught real easy on something else. It's kind of like a squirrel or people that get something run by and they say, squirrel. I forget what you call that word. I get distracted. Maybe that's it. They praised God and had favor with the community. Now I want you to notice what happened when they did this. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. So maintaining the church of God goes all the way back to still multiplying the kingdom of God. You see, it's all one. When we maintain it, God continues to multiply. God's not going to send people to a church or to a people that's not going to take care of them, that's not going to lead them, that's not going to give them growth, that's not going to encourage them, not going to be a place that can grow. There's no reason to send nobody there. We get ourselves where we should be and understand that our job is about growing and maintaining the kingdom of God, then we're where God wants us to be. You see, it's not going to be a perfect church because there's not one. You say, well, I'm going to find me a perfect church. Well, good luck. Don't join it. You'll earn it. There ain't one. You say, I'm going to go find me one that's perfect in the community. It don't exist. You say, I'm going to go find me one where everything is just like I want it. The music's just like I want it. The preacher's just like, he don't preach too long. He don't preach too short. I'm going to find me one just like I want it. Well, good luck. Not there. Your responsibility is to multiply and maintain the kingdom of God. Do you ever think about the kingdom of God? Does it ever cross your mind about the kingdom of God? That's talking about a whole every believer and everybody that will come to believe and has believed and will believe and in the whole the scheme of things. It makes your mind hurt to think about it. God's faithful to his word. We as his people have lost our focus on the kingdom. We've lost it. Either we never had it or we've lost it. The reason we are here, and we can't see it, because amongst all the confusion that's going on. You see, you know why there's so much confusion happens in churches? You know why there's so much things that happens in church? I remember when music was changing. We hadn't been in church very long. And yes, that music was already changed some places, but out where we was, it was trying to come on. Contemporary, I'm talking about. I call it J93 music, because that's what I relate it to. We had a pastor at the time that was of the devil. It wasn't going to happen. If it did, he would leave. But I remember churches that split. Y'all remember it. Many churches around here left because the music changed. And things began changing. And people began leaving. And you know what? I do believe that was caused. Listen. And I fell into that because I was taught that. But what I found out now is that that was a big diversion by the enemy. He is a genius at this. If he can cause us to be taken up with other things inside the church of God, our focus is taken away from multiplying and maintaining the kingdom of God. And as long as that's happening, nothing in the kingdom of God is taking place, and that old rascal is just as happy as he can be. He's got us confused. You see, when we look for a church, when we look for a place that we think is successful, oh, we'll go look at some numbers. We want to see what them numbers look like. I do it. I go into a place and I ain't never been there before. I look for that little board on the back. That's what us old Baptists are used to, that little board. Look for there, and man, if it's got 100 Sunday school in this area, you think, that's a pretty good church. If it's got 25, you think, they ain't doing what they're supposed to do. That don't mean a hill of beans. But you see, we've gotten so caught up, so confused, so blinded by wanting to have what everybody else has. We want this kind of music. We want this kind of stage. We want this kind of preacher. We want this kind of... you can look around and, man, it all goes. The pallets. We used to have pallets back here. It went through a spell where everybody had pallets. It'll go through a spell where they... And listen, it's human nature. We all do it. We see it working over here. We want to try to do it. Maybe it'll work at our place. Nothing wrong with it. Well, there's something wrong with it, but as humans, we gravitate towards that because we think it's a solution to our problem. And all along, the solution is multiplying and maintaining the kingdom of God. I enjoy having stuff for our kids. I can't say I enjoy everything they do, like Winter Jam, but I enjoy having things with our kids. I enjoy going places with them. I'm glad we have a place that can support them. There's not many churches our size. I say this all the time. There's not many churches our size that the youth has the opportunities that they have at this place. Not many at all. Not many churches that have the abilities we have here for the size we are. But listen, all of that does not matter. What matters are we multiplying and maintaining the kingdom of God. I'm not going to ask you to answer it out loud. But I am going to ask you to answer it in your heart. Because you say, "When I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you on my part. I ain't doing hardly anything." You say, "Well, you preach every Sunday." Yeah, but I hope y'all are already part of the kingdom of God is multiplying it. You say, well, maintaining, will you preach? Yeah, I do that part. But really, what am I, or what are you doing to multiply and maintain the kingdom of God? And maintaining goes a lot further. We could go on into giving. We could go on into giving your talents and giving your monies and giving all these things. We're not going there today. But I just want to ask you these questions. What are you doing to increase the kingdom of God? What are you doing to maintain those that are in the kingdom of God? What are you doing? As Pat comes, and y'all, everybody want to please stand. A little different sermon, a little different way than I usually preach, I think, this morning. Our little fella that come by here, eat Thanksgiving meal with us, name was Lance, was walking to Arizona. Yeah, he was different to talk to, different beliefs on some things. But I do believe that his objective was seeking the kingdom of God. I believe that was his whole reason for doing what he was doing. Now, you may say, well, he could have got on an airplane and went. Yeah, he sure could. Maybe he was wanting to see God provide. But today, if you can honestly answer this question, are you doing anything to multiply or maintain the kingdom of God? I'm not asking about what office you hold in the church. I'm not asking about what you give or any of those things. On a daily basis, are you doing anything to multiply and maintain God's kingdom? If you are not, friend, you need to be in this altar. You can pray where you're at, but this is a good place to start down here. I say a lot of times, if I was to build a new church and I needed to save me a few dollars, I'd take the altar out of it. It's one of the less unused things in the church today. You see, as we become more, I don't know the right words, more civilized in our churches, we tend to think we don't need to pray here anymore. You know why this church is here today? Because grandma and our great-grandmas and great-papas, they got in the altar and prayed to a holy God, and God preserved us, and God brought us through. He maintained. Praying these altars is part of maintaining the kingdom of God. What about you today? Is there anything in your life that you are doing that enhances the kingdom of God? Are you just mainly taking up place in the kingdom of God? You just mainly got a position and you're fine. That's not biblical, and that's not God's way. His way that you'd be growing. As she plays, you be honest with yourself today.